So we're working on Acts, and I don't know if you were there for the early service. Oh my goodness, it wore me out. The story, we're path to the palace, and the story of David, we're going to have a little snippet of that in Sunday school for a couple of weeks, right in the middle of Proverbs, and but if you got a chance, go back and watch that. Acts 6. And one. Now in those days when the number of disciples were multiplying, there arose a murmur against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because of their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And he said, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, to whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, and the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and had a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. They were even religious people were getting saved. Wow. Okay. So, quick review, what we've talked about in Acts so far. The church was born. It was born, number one, in obedience. He said, go there and wait. How many of y'all really, like me, love to wait? I am not a great waiter. Okay, now if it's waiting on you, like bringing you coffee or something, I like it. It's fun. But if it's just waiting, I don't like it. But then they were in one accord. Remember that? And that does not mean they agreed on everything. What it meant is they were there for one purpose, which is to be obedient to God and receive what he had for them. And then in fire and wind came, and the church supernaturally was born. See, the church has moved away from the supernature that it was born in. The church has become a place you come and you learn how to be more successful, you learn how to be better, you feel better. And listen, we want all those things, but we don't want to do that without the supernature of the church. And the reason I'm saying those words like that is so that you know that supernatural, okay, yeah, it was a show on TV, whatever, but the supernature of the church is a person. It is the Holy Spirit. And as we decide, and you say, well, Bruce, what are you talking about? I'm talking about knowing what to say when something's going on, that God speaks to you and whispers to you, knowing when to call somebody, being at the right place at the right time. I'm talking about being the person God's called you to be, giving you strength and faith to do what he's called to do. And I want to tell you something. People begin to recognize that something was going on, and you know what they did immediately? They begin to make fun of them. They're a bunch of drunks. They're a bunch of drunks down there. And then after that, there became persecution and beatings. And we've covered all this, beatings and put in jail. And I want to tell you, the enemy's always going to come against the church. He will now, and he did then. Okay. And they were made to feel like outsiders. They were made to feel, because they had the religious community, which had been going on the laws of Moses, and that's, and then, of course, there's a big controversy. Do we follow the laws of Moses and Jesus? Do we, and there's this inner turmoil. But I want to tell you, it's always been that way. Somebody will always have a better idea, okay? But things aren't easy being in the New Testament church, okay? And I want to tell you, as I was thinking about this morning, or no, this was sometime this week, I really don't like this saying, but it's a true saying in a lot of ways. You know, if you're an athlete, they say no pain, no gain. And it costs something to do to do God's work. There is some pain involved. There is some personal sacrifice and service involved. So then, unbelievably, they start having them get organized. We haven't learned that here yet. I've only been here 21 years, but no, at some point we've got to get organized. Well, we show up mostly at the same time on the same day. But anyway, but okay. That's kind of an inside joke. But anyway, they had to set their priorities as they begin to get organized. And look at what their priorities were. Guys, we need to keep the lights on. We need to keep, you know, we need to make sure the bills are paid. We need to make sure all that's going on. We need to know, we need to keep all that going. But the priorities, look what they said. We can't take ourselves away from prayer and the preaching of the word. That needs to be our priorities. And, you know, we do prayer here every week, but I hope that you're praying and you're crying out to God at your house. I hope you got a prayer list. I hope you got a prayer time. I hope you're spending time in that. And I want to tell you, if you want things to change, I've got a little deal I printed out and put on my wall. If you want something you've never had, you're going to do something you've never done. You say, well, you know, I pray over my food. Well, and you seem to be eating okay. All y'all look pretty good. Okay. But I was eating real good yesterday. Whew, I won't talk about that anyway. So, but the bottom line is this, guys. We need to be a people. We don't need to take our priorities away from, okay, well, the priority is this. You know, the lawn looks nice. This looks nice. The priority needs to be our prayer and our teaching of the word. But again, then they turn some stuff over, some organization. How many of you know organization is important? It is, okay? But we don't put it here and then prayer and teaching here. Get things in the right priority. So the third one was priorities, okay? So then something happened. We're kind of caught up. And Stephen, full of faith, and that word faith there can be translated also grace. Stephen, full of faith, grace, and power, and did great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen is one of these deacons, okay? And then arose some of the, called the synagogue, the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputed with Stephen. Now, I did a little research. This was called the Synagogue of Freedmen. Now, I do not want to put anybody down. I just want you to understand, I've never done the deep dive on this before. I don't know why. I just went right over it because I just got to what I thought was important. But evidently today, this is important. These were men and women. Okay, men for sure. Okay. These are people that had been slaves. And when I say that, I mean slaves in the true sense of the word. They were and had been freed, had been gotten their freedom somehow, either bought or whatever, and then they had become introduced into the Judaism. Okay, and I want to tell you, sometime if we're not careful, this is where I was going as I was studying this, as I was praying about it. Guys, sometime if we're not careful, because of the way we've been treated in the past, it clouds the things that we see now. Okay, I'll tell you, and I'm not going to use any specific examples, but if you buy a particular car and it was a lemon, I'll use that example. That's safe enough. Okay. So that car was a lemon. Forever, that brand of car will be horrible, right? Because you see it through the lens of you being done wrong by that company. If you have a bad relationship with a person, or if this person does this or something, or because of abuse, all these things. I mean, you know, as you look at that, these guys had had bad experiences. They'd been slaves, okay? And they says in verse 10 said they were disputing with Stephen and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. And they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Did you know people will lie on you? And I'm being just as generic as I can. Kim and I found that out amazingly many years ago, that because people don't like either your success or your whatever, people will literally create things and say things, okay? Either out of insecurity or like this is, you're making them look bad, you know, whatever, or not. But I call it, this fourth point is essentially there was a plot by liars, okay? And here's the deal. They secretly got people to say this lie, and they stirred up people, elders, scribes, and they seized him and brought him to the council. They're talking about Stephen. They were jealous of Stephen because he had the anointing. And they also set up false witness. He doesn't seek to speak blasphemous words against the holy place in the law. For we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth, now all of these are Judaizers who are, you know, going by the law, will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all who sat at the council, looking steadfast at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. His countenance actually changed under this pressure. Now I want you to watch that. Think about that. When I read that again, it's like his countenance actually changed. Instead of him sitting there and going like this, the Spirit of God came over him and his countenance changed. He didn't have anything to be afraid of. And listen, I'm speaking this to you in faith this morning that you will receive this. You don't have anything to worry about. God's in charge. Is there pain in this life? Lord, have mercy. Is there disappointment in this life? Lord, yes, over and over and over. But Stephen evidently was not afraid. Not afraid. Not afraid. Fear not. I read Joshua, I think it's 1 and 7 or something this morning. He says, fear not, for I am with you. If I was saying, I don't have to be afraid because I'm so smart, I'm in trouble. No, I'm serious. If I'm not afraid because, you know, I've got all this figured out. Nope, I'm going to tell you why I'm not afraid is because God is God. And he is my shield. He is my faith. He is my rear guard. And I don't have to be afraid. I can go forward. And I'm not going to, there's 3 pages of his sermon, okay? Well, no, excuse me, 2 pages. There's a 2-page sermon here that I'm not going to preach because it's in here, and I would recommend you read this, okay? But what I am going to do is I'm going to tell you what he did. He went to those people right where they live. Think about this. He went to where, instead of him saying, you bunch of dummies, you know, Jesus came and all y'all do is, no, that's not what happened. He went right to where it was. And he said, men and brethren and fathers, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. And when I read that first line, I thought of one word, covenant. God began to make covenant. He started covering people in the garden covering their shame. They tried to sew something together and cover up their shame, and it worked fine when they're just among each other. But when God showed up, guess what? They're ashamed because he sees the heart. And he covered them, their shame, with skins. And guess what? You don't get the skin off nothing till you kill it. There was a sacrifice. It was a blood sacrifice and a covenant made then. And he covered them. They call it the Adamic covenant. And here's the deal, guys. That happened, and listen. And then he finds a man, Abraham, who is willing to enter into covenant with him. And the covenant starts with him making him promises. Has God made you promises? Has God made you promises? Absolutely. And it started with promises. And here's what happened. Literally, guys. And then, because God knew his heart, he met the desire of his heart. And then he said, I've given you this son, and now you have to give it back to me. But you know what? God knew that Abraham was going to be faithful there. That's why he is the father of faith. Because he literally gave his son back to God. He did not have to be killed. You know the story. But here's the deal. It started with Abraham. And these people, that's where their story starts, with Abraham. And we have to go back to where the people start. When we're telling the story of Jesus Christ, the way not to do it is, yeah, you know what? The reason you're like you are is because you did this. You made this mistake. You did this. That's stupid. This is that. You're this. They're that. Put you in this box. Put you in that box. Da, da, da. That's not the way that you bring people to Christ. The way you bring people to Christ is say, you know what? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And here's the deal. But it starts with the covenant, okay? And he goes through the whole story. And then the good choices that they made and the bad choices they made. And they ended up in that God provided for them in Egypt and being brought out of Egypt. Another picture of salvation, going through the Red Sea, following Moses through the Red Sea, guys. And they are baptized under the redemption and taking them out, okay? And here's the deal. That could be a real long conversation. We'll keep going. But then it shows Israel rebelling against God. How many of you have ever rebelled against God? In the big things and the little things, and the wages of sin is what? Every time. And every time. And you know, it's like gravity. I know you can get in a spaceship and go, even an aircraft, and they fall fast enough that you have temporary weightlessness and they practice and all that stuff. But guess what? When you get back to ground, if you drop a baseball, it'll fall every time. No matter how hard the winds blow it may blow this way and then fall, but it will fall, right? Because gravity, and the God's word is just like that. And Israel rebelled, and then he begins to bring them to the place where he says, you know, and over, God brought his prophets to you to tell you something. And I don't know if you're watching this morning online or you're here, but I want you to hear what I'm saying, guys. God over and over has brought you to a place to say, I am the answer. It's not higher handlebars and ladder pipes. It's not a nicer house. It's not a bigger ministry. It's not the perfect, you know, it's not a 400-pound bench press. It's not, you know, and I don't know, like whatever it is with you guys, it's not the biggest car. It's not the nicest. It's not the perfect PhD, my Pentecostal hairdo. It's not none of those things, okay? He is the answer, isn't he? It's not me following every rule in the Bible perfectly. And that'd be a good thing. That'd be a good thing. And I've not been able to do that so far. You know, what the guy said, he's praying and he says, God, thank you so much, Lord, today I haven't lusted. I haven't done this, I haven't done that, I haven't done this. Thank you so much, Lord. But I'm fixing to get out of bed here in a minute. I'm going to start my day. So, you know, you need to help me out from there. Does that make sense? Okay. But that picture he tells over, and that's why we study the Word of God. And as he took it to where they were, and that's what we need to do. We need to take, and I want to tell you, our Jesus died on the cross. And one of the, Kim and I were talking last night. We were bouncing some stuff off each other. And literally, guys, think of all the things that Jesus could have said at the well, with the woman at the well. Think of all the stuff he could have said. Man, he could have had a sermon there, right? But you know what? He cared more about her than he did about him, her knowing, because she already felt convicted. She already felt bad. She already hated herself. But instead of that, he revealed the glory of God to her, and that brought her to him. And guys, I want to tell you, God is glorious, and we've been pointing fingers at each other long enough. And let's let him be glorified. And when they had heard these things, we're all ready to verse 54. There's a great sermon here. Read this, guys, read it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Does it make everybody happy when they hear the gospel? No. Because I was actually talking to some people about this the other day, and you know, some people, they reject the gospel because they don't want, they want the control over their life. They don't want God to have control over their life. They have to accept the gospel. You have to realize there's something bigger than you are, okay? And his name is Jesus. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." So guys, proclaim Jesus, even if you have to use words. Proclaim Jesus in the way you deal with people. Proclaim Jesus in the way you take care of your neighbors. Proclaim Jesus in the way you were at the workplace. Be the man or woman God's called you to be. And what that make, that should make everybody really happy, but evidently it doesn't. Okay. Then they cried out with a loud voice and they put their hands in their ears. Wow. I've had some people reject some things I've said, but I've never had anybody actually stick their finger in their ears while I was watching. Maybe they're doing it at home now as they're live streaming. Okay. And then they ran at him. Okay. This reminds me of those places that they used to have honky tonks where they had to put up chicken wire because people would throw bottles at the band. They were so bad. So they ran at him with one accord. Here we got some people, they're on one, everybody's mad at the same person. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. They killed him. They murdered him for the gospel. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And that's where this story's going, guys. And they stoned Stephen, and as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," and he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." What kind of heart is that? That he doesn't say, "Have bears come out and eat these people." You know? And when he had said this, he fell asleep. There's two points right here at the end I want to hit. We'll be done, guys. Yeah, we're doing pretty good. But here's the deal. First off, as he's seeing this, he knows that God is in charge. And God is actually using this horrible thing that's happening to him to shape a young man in the audience. not, okay, in the audience of that happening, Saul is there. Saul is standing there with the coats, looking, and he sees this man being stoned, being beaten to death with big rocks, and said, Lord, don't hold this against them. And you don't think they already knew what Jesus had said? They knew. They just didn't believe that he was the Son of God. They knew that Jesus had said, hey, Lord, don't hold this against them. They don't know what they're doing. And when we get treated wrong, what do? Do we say, Lord, don't hold this against them? Or do we go, Lord, would you have the bears come out and eat them? You know? Yeah, I keep saying that. That is Elijah, I believe, did that. Elijah. And they were saying, hey, you baldy, hey, you baldy. And the bears came out. So, second thing is, he says, Lord, receive my spirit. And guys, I want to tell you, he had the faith and confidence. And I think I told this last week about one of the apostles that was taken and was in jail with this soldier. There was a centurion with him his last days. And as they went out there and he preached to the centurion, and when this man went forward and got his head cut off, the centurion went forward and got his head cut off. He said, you know, Jesus is worth dying for. He's worth dying for. And he's not asking, I don't think this morning, for any of us to, I don't think there's a situation now that people are going to be killing us because we're Christians in this flesh. But he is telling us, our asking you this morning, is he worth giving up your life, ever what you thought it was going to look like, ever what you thought it was, and walking the path he's called you to walk? And I want to tell you guys, Stephen, when I was a kid, of course, I heard this story many times. It's not my favorite story. I like the stories where Joshua prays and God makes the hailstones fall on the other people and we win the battle. That's the stories I like. I like the stories where Jehoshaphat sends the praisers and worshipers out front, and the people destroy themselves, each other, as they go into the battle, and the Israel wins. That's the stories I like. Okay. I like the stories where Jesus grabs a little girl and says, she's just asleep. Don't worry about it. She's just asleep. And reaches down as a dad. I cannot imagine the celebration they had. And reaches down and gets by the hand and says, come on, get up. And they gave her something to eat. That's the stories I like. This is not my favorite story. But I want to tell you something. This, Stephen's life, ever how short it was, get this, it started a process in this young man that then ended up writing a third of the New Testament. I think it's 13 books. I want you to think about that. Him seeing him die like that, it did something. And you know, we look at everything as the 80 years, 90 years, 60 years. What do we have here on this earth, okay? That's our life and what we got. And I actually repented of that this week because I was thinking, oh, I got to, accomplish this, do this. And I thought, you know what? I'm looking at it like flesh. And God doesn't look like flesh. He looks at it from above. He sees us in eternity, okay? And he was there when we were in the secret place. And he laid out our days before us, and he will be there at the end of this, when this 50s model wears out, and I go to be with him, and then I will be with him, and I will be more alive then than I am now. And we don't talk about that much anymore because we want to succeed in this life. We want to do that. And so do I. Okay. You know, And we definitely want to keep the lights on. But other than that, you know, God has a plan. And for this young man, I say young man, I have no idea how old he was, but for this wonderful man of God, something started, a spark was lit by his death to change the world. And guess what? As we die to ourselves, I'm not talking about your breath stopping, but as we die to our flesh, a spark is lit that nothing can be the same around us. So Father, here we are. And Lord, there's nobody in this room that's more selfish than I am. You know, Lord, as I preach this, as I study this, as I cry out to you about this, Lord, you know the conviction of my heart, Lord, that I am so self-centered. But Lord, I pray that I'd be the man you called me to be. And I thank you, Lord, that you have whittled on me, Lord, instead of just cutting me, Lord. You've just been molding and making me through the years, God. And Lord, that we would be the people that you call us to be. And Lord, the sparks would be lit. That Lord, that our lives are no longer our own, but they are yours. And we give them to you, like my brother, Stephen. And Lord, in the middle of it, saying, Lord, it's not their fault. I trust you. So Lord, we trust you this morning. If you've ever never received him as your Savior, that's the first step of trust, is that there is a payment for your sin that has been made. But he says, receive me. All those who are thirsty, anybody, you say, you know what, Bruce, I don't have my finances worked out. I don't have my love life worked out. I've got an addiction. I've got this. Listen, I want to tell you to reach out to him today where you are, right where you stand. He's speaking to you this morning. Call on the name of the Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help us, oh Lord. Let us be who and the people you've called us to be. We love you. And Father, thank you for paying the price for our sin. And Jesus, thank you for raising, coming out of that grave, Lord, taking the keys of death, hell, and the grave, so I don't have to be afraid anymore. So Lord, as we follow you, help us, oh God. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Guys, have a great day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace.